You are now tuned in to My Skin Is My Sand on Blog Talk Radio. From goons to gods, we welcome everyone. We only have one rule. Let's be respectful. You are now tuned in to My Skin Is My Sand on Blog Talk Radio. Goons to gods, we welcome everyone. We only have one rule. Let's be respectful.
Call us next week, man.
No doubt, man. And definitely shout out to the family, liberationmindedmedia.net. That is Black Eyes Stand, Do the Knowledge Radio, The Rundown with Renee, and My Skin Is My Sin. Oh, and don't forget to share the show, man. If you check it out today, or if you check it out next week, or if you check it out in 1,000 years, and if you are that motherfucker that digs us up in 1,000 years, you are the most phenomenal individual to ever walk the galaxy for digging up this greatness and still share our shit, man. Shout out to you. Don't forget to check out the websites, mbrochelle.com, designsbymonet.com, and myskinismysin.net.
So, baby, I love you. Baby, I love you. Baby, I love you. Yeah. Baby, I love you. So say you do. 'Cause I say I do, I love you, I love you.
You are not tuned in to My Skin Is My Sin presents another episode of Intellectually Petty Radio. My name is Jobs, and I am your co-host. Let me add the plug. And my bad, Melvin Air Mindset.
That's a fact.
My co-host. Fact. I like that one, though. You're getting better at it. You're getting better at it, man. Yeah, I fucked with Melvin Air Mindset.
That's just fire.
I'm about to go do some push-ups now, bro. And we got our esteemed.
Yo, I'm guest. Sitting in a pink chair, bro. Like, and I'm like trying to do my best with this like stand, bro.
See, now I gotta see the pink chair, bro.
Yo, my nigga, it's bad, bro. Like,
there's nothing wrong with a pink chair, man.
It seems
like that would fit the Melvin Air Mindset.
Nah, because it's silk chair for real. Like, she low key set me up. You know what I'm saying? So
Shout out to Silk.
She low key set me up for more. I think about
it. No, she did not, man.
She's like, I think
that fits the Melvin Air Mindset. Yo, see, I'm telling you, man. You got to flip it on her.
I come in the crib. She's like, yeah, babe. I set you up in the corner. You know what I mean? But and then, you know, I'm setting up. And like, I turn the light on, and it's a fucking pink chair, bro.
that's fucking funny, man. But let me get we got our esteemed guest in the queue. Okay. So let me get Miss Asia Jones, candidate for City Council of Cleveland, Ward 8.
Peace.
In the house, in the building. How you doing, Queen? Oh, snaps, my bad. I had you muted. I'm an idiot.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now. Thank you.
All right. Here we are. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited. I'm doing very well. I'm blessed. I'm feeling peaceful, you know, and it can be a little overwhelming, but maintaining that peace. So thank you so much, Kings, for having me on the show this evening.
Well, in full disclosure, I work with... I'm a coworker with one of her friends.
Oh, all right.
I want her to win so bad. I really do. I think, you know, like, people are dope. You know, like, her friend is a dope person. I can't imagine her endorsing anyone that was just trash.
Yes, she would not, for sure. Shout out to my best friend, Nina. She is talking me up, and I want to shout out all of my loved ones who are tuning in, Jennifer and my husband. I love you, honey. And whomever else is tuning in. And hey, thank you so much.
No doubt. So why? Why did you give a shit?
Because I was one of the ones for so long who didn't. But I thought I did it. I tried not to because, you know, we live in America. We live in a very tumultuous, rich country. Tumultuous to Black people and rich to everyone else, right? And, you know, dealing with that, you know, being in a space where I only participated. My first time voting was for Barack Obama. And at 18 years old, I was just like, oh, my God, like, oh, it's a Black man. Ah, ah, you know, and then really understanding the power of politics and how it's not always used to benefit the people. Mm-hmm. And when I say the people, I don't just mean Black people. When I usually say the people, I'm usually talking about poor people. It's not used to benefit us. So it took me a long time to really make the decision to take the next step of my advocacy and my activism and my organizing to the next step of creating legislative change. But I remember on a podcast in 2017, I was like, oh, yeah, I'll probably run against like the white guy. That's mm-hmm. been in Collinwood, which mm-hmm. is the current councilman. Hey, Pulisic. In 2017, that was mentioned. And then as I started to get deeper into the work of advocacy and activism, I started to really, the pain was really hitting. And I know if it was hitting for me, it was hitting for people who weren't even in the work, right? Because mm-hmm. We have a lot of us who've given up because the system is not designed for us. It is not. But what we have to do is take it back. And how can we do that? Put people like myself. I don't have a corporate bone, a corporate backing. I'm a change agent. I'm an activist. I'm an organizer. I'm poor. And I'm doing this for the people. Without mm-hmm. the people, I can get any job. Trust me, I can get any job I want. You know, I'm super qualified. Mm-hmm. But I'm super committed to the people, and I don't think that we should no longer leave our lives and our communities in the hands of those who no longer serve us. So. Okay.
So let's say you win. Mm-hmm. What's first on the agenda? Like, and for people that don't know, like our little slice of the planet, there's some people that's got some money, not like super rich, but mm-hmm. but got a couple of dollars. And there's some people on the complete opposite of the spectrum, all in the same little space. Mm-hmm. You know, just like a, I go up to Lakeshore, I make a left, and I'm running into the hood, basically.
Period.
I go to the right, I got, you know, the suburbs.
You in the high class, right?
How do you deal with both of those constituencies though?
Honesty. Like I said, I've been an organizer and an activist for a long time now. Mm-hmm. And I just recently in this past January, I was speaking at a rally for in honor of Tamir Rice and getting, you know, as we continue to fight for justice for him and his family. Mm-hmm. I speak directly to white people. And I am very open and honest and serious. Like you can't tiptoe around them. Like you just can't do that because they won't, they will continue to be oblivious to the real deal of what's really going on. So I spoke to directly to white people, and it's one of the most shared videos that I have on Instagram. And I talked to them how, just being very honest, although some of us don't want to work with white people, be around white people or these things, until white people are outraged about what's being done to other humans. And there are a lot who are serious about this change, who are true allies. Mm-hmm. They're like open heart, open mind, until their souls are pierced. The revolution will not happen, right? And I think what's important for us to understand is we as Black people, we've been so indoctrinated within, you know, with self-hate for ourselves because of what's been placed in us and on us and in front of us. We have so much turmoil within ourselves that honestly, we have to reach out like, yo, what you doing to my people? It got to stop. And then that it just starts by a conversation. So I work with a lot of white allies who are super awesome and understanding and know what racism is. And they denounce it and they understand that they have the privilege. And then they go and have conversations with their white counterparts. I remember watching one of the people that I admire so much, and I always say that I'm standing on the shoulders of giants, is Fred Hampton. And it's so crazy how the movie came out. And he walked right in there with what is the flag called? The racist flag. Confederate flag. It was slipping my mind. He walked right in there. I don't know if you all saw Judas and the Black Messiah, but he walked in there with his people like, look, y'all fighting against the wrong people. Y'all fighting against the wrong people. We're not taking nothing from y'all.
But see, you know what? There's a difference in that, though. You can trust people's hate, but you can't trust their love.
Okay, I can understand that, and then break it down. So why can't we trust the love?
Because the love can be easily faked.
That's true.
The hate is pouring through. Yeah, and they proud of the hate.
Yeah. And a lot of them, honestly, a lot of them are still stuck. Like, I've been hitting the streets nonstop since January, and I've been faced. I've never been called a nigger in my life until, and even I recognize privilege in that because I've only grown up around Black people. And having to deal with an older white gentleman call me a nigger, in quoting the current councilman, was like, whoa. Like, it's real. You know, Ward 8 is one of the
Wait a minute, the councilman called you a nigger?
No, there was a white gentleman that I was canvassing, and my comrade asked him, like, why do you think that Councilman Polinsic has been in office so long? And he said, I'll tell you what he said. And we're like, oh, okay. And he said, he will make sure, 40 years ago, he told us that he'll keep all the niggers out. And I was just like, wow. And he was like, that's why he's been in council for so long. I was just like, wow, that's wow. So technically he was quoting another white man, but for him to be a white man and say it, it was just a lot for me. He could have easily said, he said the N-word, but I guess he wanted me to really experience why he's been in, you know, council for so long. It was definitely a tough.
They're not gonna hide the hate.
Right. No, they're not. And then this gentleman also gave me his signature and had his wife come out and give me her signature and then had their neighbors come. So, you know, we have to find a happy medium, honestly, because it's our people have been so disenfranchised when it comes to the system, because we know the system is not for us. But I strongly believe someone like myself, who is from the people, for the people, about the people, with the people, still the people, can make it happen. Like I said, I don't have a political background or a political bone or anything like that. But change has to, I can't, I, it, whatever happens in this race, I can't lose, period. Because I still have work to do. I'm still going to be hitting the streets. I'm still going to be having these conversations, period. If I'm in office or I'm not, it has to get done.
Right.
You know, and I'm committed to it. This mantle has been placed upon me by my ancestors, and I have to make them proud. I can't not make them proud. So, and just to
answer you for that too.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Because I am lazy. I am the other citizen. Am I lying? As a citizen, I'm wholeheartedly a failure, except I vote.
I think it's important to know as Black soldiers that we know we all have our roles. We can't all be on the front lines. We need to be having these conversations that you have continuously with Black people about whatever is going on. What you do is a form of self-care for people that you may not even look at it like that. But we all look for an outlet to express things and to talk about things and to get other perspective, because you got to understand, in life, we're Black people, but we all have different type of experiences, you know. And I want to thank you for what you're doing with Intellectually Petty Radio and My Skin Is My Sin. And I'm honored to be on. And just to kind of double back and answer one of your questions about what is one of the first things that you know, I'm going to be a part of in acting is allowing people to have public comment at City Hall. Right now, people feel like they can't be heard because they can't even voice their opinions. They just wrap the budget without any input from any Cleveland residents. That's Ward 8, Ward 4, Ward, every ward. No one in Cleveland, East or West, has been able to voice their opinion. So you have a city council making decisions off of whatever they think is right. Right? So that is my first, definitely first, because, you know, I'm working with several other candidates to get that push. And, you know, definitely looking forward to working with mayoral candidates, because it's very important that that happens. But I also know on the flip side of that, there are a lot of us, when I say us, I mean Black people, who are disengaged, who are uninterested in voting local, who are uninterested, who feel as if their voice is not heard. So, you know, what I've been doing, I know one of the things that's important is that we get signatures. But I've been hitting the houses that are unregistered. Because, yes, signatures are important, but I need to save the souls of these people. They need to understand that they matter. Like, when you living in the hood and you feel like nobody cares about you, I've been there. So it's my duty. And it's like I was talking, it's not a good strategy to win. It's not a good, but I'm like, yeah, okay, but I have to do this. I'm sorry. I don't want my life to be cursed because I'm not doing what's been placed upon me. You know what I'm saying?
But so, then you kind of got to, like, what's a better goal end game? Is it to, you know, do you want to be, you know, maybe mayor, where you can have a bigger impact on the community at large? But that means you got to win the races that you get in. Or is it, you know, okay, I'll be okay if I win. I'm okay if I don't. But it's more important to just do the work for the community. And that's your end game.
I think it's my end game is doing the work for the community while being a councilwoman. Okay. My beginning game is doing the work for the community, period. So end game, middle game, but my beginning game, right, is doing the work for the community, with the community, for the community, you know, while being a part of the community. And, you know, when I do win, I have to hit the ground. It's going to be a whole different type of councilwoman. You know what I'm saying? I can't just be in the office and everybody has voted for me. And I'm not going to lie, I'm really getting a lot of support. You know, I'm really getting a lot of support. The community are at one point, because I'm like, I'm looking for the people to serve. And the word was spoken to me. They was like, no, the people are looking for you. And that hit me. And then when I hit them, I've been calling them porch time talks. I've been talking to people on their porch.
Do you really do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. With my mask on, I make sure I ask, of course, mm-hmm. of course, and I'll give them a mask. You know, I know we're in an age of like oversharing and doing all of that. Sometimes I don't even take, like, I'm never alone. So I'll have someone with me, but I don't want everything to be about a photo op.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I just don't want to operate in that sense. You know, cause it's important for me to touch the people where they haven't been. Like I've had conversations with older women who are like, don't nobody come over here. Don't nobody care about nobody over here. I'm like, wow. Cause when you think of Ward 8, people only think of Collinwood. Ward 8 is parts of Glenville, you know, St. Clair, Lakeshore, you know, and it's like, that is the forgotten part. And that can't be. And one of the things, I guess, is a strategy is for me to energize and revitalize people to register to vote. We're going to have a record number of new voters this year that people have probably haven't voted in a local election in a long time. But, you know, while I'm getting my signature, because I'm grateful for all the volunteers. And if you're interested in volunteering, please reach out. You know, I'm pretty sure I'll be able to share my information at the end of.
Well, how many signatures you need?
I need 200. Right now, we're at about 118. But the goal is to pass in double the amount to cover any discrepancies in signatures. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for people to collect signatures and register people to vote and collect the signatures of residents of Ward 8. They have to be a resident of Ward 8 and they have to be registered to vote. So if you are interested or know anyone, you know, let me know.
Definitely sign.
Yes.
I can get you two.
Oh, see, we got 120 already. We got 120 signatures right now, and I only been on the phone for a few minutes.
Okay, so fast forward.
Yeah.
What's the first thing that you would try to change?
Like, so the first thing would definitely be enacted in public comment, but another thing is public safety. Public safety is a huge thing. And I just want to, one second, I thought I was live, but I guess I'm not. Public safety, I want people to hear this part. That's why I'm saying that.
Like the police, public safety?
Yes, public safety, the police, and EMS. I actually just met with EMS on yesterday. Great meeting. A lot of people don't understand that EMS is not a part of, you know, the police department, but we'll get into that if we get a chance. So I've developed and created a co-responder model with a few people around public safety. And one of the things that's really important is understanding that public safety and public health at this time is intertwined. It's really important that we have services for situations where it is not a violent crime, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say we're gonna create some more jobs. So we need code enforcers to come to the homes of like a noise complaint. You have a noise complaint, you don't need to be approached by a cop and we're trying to minimize police interactions, right? Because police are currently trigger happy. They need to be retrained and all of those things, right? So you have a code enforcer. There was a loud party on a Friday night. Somebody had a celebration. Somebody called the code enforcer. Mm-hmm. And they come, take a picture, take a video, get the address. Monday, you get a ticket. Boom. You know what I'm saying? That's not a violent crime. It's noise, right? Right? So that's that. And then also the co-responder model as a response to emergencies. I don't know if you all remember Tanisha Anderson. Tanisha Anderson was murdered by Cleveland police back in, 2013, I think. Mm-hmm. And she was diagnosed with several mental illnesses and her family called to that she was outside. And mm-hmm. I'm not sure if she was clothed or not, but she was not armed. She was having a mental health episode, right? They didn't know who to call, so they called the police. The police pulled up and murdered her immediately, right? So with that, we don't have anywhere to call when we have those type of emergencies. We just want to help our family. We don't want them to die. Right. And a lot of Black people are in the communities. They go undiagnosed. You know, it's a large stigma in our community that we have mental health issues. Maybe, you know, even domestic violence stems from mental health issues. Yeah. You don't know how to deal with certain things. So you turn to violence instead of any other coping skills. And instead of you getting the help you need, you're just put into jail. So looking to really have a new model of emergency services available to the community, to the people, not just Ward 8, but all over. I think that is so important. And yeah, we're not going to have to see police still at work after they've murdered our family members. And accountability with the Cleveland police. That is a huge thing because they're not even open to conversation with anyone. If you try to reach out to the director of police and the commissioner and things, they're not interested in talking about anything. So even that's a problem. So outside of public comment, I think it's really important that we tackle the issue when it comes to public safety and public health. And that is a huge thing for me, especially with reallocating funding. City Council passed the budget of $218 million for whom? The police. Wow. Some of the services, I think community development, they got maybe $3 million. I think the Parks and Recs got maybe $2 million. Like our kids are out here in the streets play fighting and having fun because they don't have nowhere to go. They bored. It's not that they bad. They just want to play. So just like the thing with the Playmore, which I'm just so hurt about. Those are kids. Like when I was a kid, I seen mad people fighting. But we not criminals. You don't come and pepper spray us. You call our mom and beat our ass. Right, we're not criminals. So it's just a lot of those things. You know, minimizing interactions with police is very important for me. Because they're not needed for everything.
No,
just recently, I work with the Bail Project through Black Lives Matter Cleveland, and we had to bail out a 71-year-old gentleman, a vet, because he's dealing with the onset of dementia, and one of those onsets is paranoia and like sporadic violence.
Right.
He was trying to escape. No one was in his home, by the way. He was trying to, so he thought somebody was in his house. So he threw a chair out the window and jumped out the window trying to escape his own room. Instead of them taking him somewhere to get services to help him, they took him to jail. This is a United States veteran. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
So how can we change that, right? How can we serve our communities better? How can we serve our Black men and our Black women and our veterans and our Hispanic and our Asian brothers and sisters better instead of throwing them in jail?
Well, the problem is we don't have our community policing our community.
Mm-hmm.
We got motherfuckers coming from an hour away, you know, to police the natives in the jungle.
Yeah. They don't live here. They live.
No. They have no vested interest in the longevity of the city. All they hope for is more crime.
Solon and West Park and Menor, and we found out some name of some other police. Some police live in Canton. Some police live in Warren.
Absolutely.
That has to stop. And when I get in there, it's going to stop. You understand what I'm saying? That don't make no sense.
You
care more about, like, say if you had a business, your business is right at the corner of your street that you live on, right? You're going to be out there every day sweeping up stuff, saying hey to people, making sure people are comfortable and making sure you're comfortable. But if you lived 2 hours away, you're just going to pull up, park, open it up, unlock, do what you got to do, make your money and leave.
Yep.
I think it's so important. And a part of my revitalization plan is having more businesses, more homeowners, more businesses in Ward 8 for residents that live in Ward 8. You should be able to work where you live and live where you work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that care factor will shoot up. You should, homeowners, you know, you care about, you own the spot. And there's a large percentage of renters in the ward. I'm so serious about that when it comes to home ownership. I'm still asking, because one of the things about me, I'm not going to give you a whole bunch of plans that I'm just, this my son's in the back. I'm not going to just give you what I think should be done or what I think I should do. I want to ask, and as you, as a Ward 8 resident, what is something that you would like to see? What is something that you would like for me to bring to the ward, or me to update in the ward, or me to revitalize in the ward?
That plaza on Lakeshore, like it used to have a Subway in it. It's got a Wasabi's in there. We go there all the time. Family Dollar's in there too. But it's like it used to be more there, and now so a couple of stores are closed down. It looks depressed. You know, and a shitload of people go to that girl. I think it's a Dave's right there.
Dave's, yep. I go to Dave's.
Shitload of people go to that Dave's right there, but the whole thing just looks depressing. And so it's a gazillion people who live right across the street. They're gonna make money.
Yes. So what would you like to see? Would you like for it to be more developed with more local owned businesses? And the trash, like I plan on one of these days when I get a chance, just kind of going out with a bag. Like, I'm not one to be like announcing, like, oh, somebody come. I'm going to just be out there doing it. Because you see somebody out there picking up trash by themselves, you're like, who are you? You know what I'm saying? And that's how things, I've done that already. And it led to really good conversations and people's inputs. But one of the things that I guess I'm hearing from you is you want it to be more presentable, more paved, because it's definitely bumpy. Yeah. It's definitely bumpy. And would you like, you would like to see more local businesses there, maybe? Maybe like homegrown businesses?
Actual local businesses, not them white folks.
Not no chains, yeah.
You know, like we've discussed buying, like we rent. And we've discussed buying a house, but like I say, we're so close to the complete polar economic spectrum that I'm a little scared to purchase a house because I don't want our street to be how it looks 10 streets over in 15 years, in 10 years. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But I think, and to that, that's probably exactly why you should buy a home. That's exactly why. And you take your ownership serious, and just know that change is brewing. Change is brewing drastically. You know, I've heard that. Like, I was talking to a good brother that lives in the community. He was just like, I walk right down the street, and it's like I'm in a whole nother world.
Fact.
And I'm like, why is that? Why has that been able to be this way for 40, 41 years? You know what I'm saying? So I'm so serious about hearing the people. I'm active. I've done so much listening these past few months that has really put me in a place of we need solutions. I'm hearing about the problems. I'm hearing about the problems. I'm solution driven, but I just know I can't do this alone. You know what I'm saying? I can't do this alone.
And like Rome. I kind of want to give like Rome lives in Baltimore. Like I stay probably two blocks away from the lake.
Beautiful.
You know, like our little the little area that I'm in, the stretch of the lake is probably the poorest area on the lakefront by far. In Cleveland area,
and that's so crazy because we got a whole waterfront.
Exactly. Like I don't get it. Like, why is this little slice right here so fucking poor on the same lakefront that if you go to the east or to the west, they're getting hella money.
Yep, $1 million homes, just like that.
I don't understand it.
I don't either. Like, I'm just like kind of taken aback by it because it's not a lot of wars that got a whole ass beach in them. Man. You know what I'm saying?
We got a section like that in Baltimore too. It's called Park Heights. Like, you know when you're in Park Heights, but it's two parts of Park Heights. It's Black People Park Heights and then it's Community Park Heights. So like you'll literally see trash come to a complete line.
Wow.
Where the Jewish community is at. They got their own security. They got their own neighborhood security, people who clean the streets, like all type of stuff. It's
yeah, that's wild. Yeah. And it's just like it's so much money being put into the wrong place. You know what I'm saying? It's not serving us at all.
Yeah.
It's not serving us at all. You know, I propose out of 218 million, let us give us something to work. Let's just work with 18 million, right? And the things that we have to do, that's not a lot. But whatever, you can get your 200 mil, but what I'm proposing, what the community needs is well over $100 million. What you need 218 million for to shoot people for?
Right.
Well, I think,
you know what I'm saying?
I think every police officer should be employed individually by the city.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is that there is no local precincts. Like, your shit is, you know, that completely eradicates the union. Your shit is just a per person contract with the city. This is what we expect from you. This is the behavior. These are the penalties for violating the rules.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my little 2 cents. But as it stands right now, they got a monopoly on shit, you know, and on crime fighting per se.
Yeah.
And so that they can hold cities hostage.
Mm-hmm. That's, you ain't never got about that. You know, I'm a note taker. I told you I'd be listening, so I'm actively listening to everything you're saying. Anything that we propose is going to be a pushback, right? But I think I talk about all of us, like I said to you, and I'm going to continue to say this, I can't do this alone. And if there was ever a time where I needed my people, the time is now, you know. It's so important to understand that we're going to get pushback for all of these things because these things are serving us, right? There is no public comment, and it has not been here in Cleveland, at Cleveland City Hall, for the community to come and make comment and make suggestions on the budget and on the things that are supposed to serve them. Why is that? Because if we have the opportunity to go up in there and speak about the things that we need, that a lot of people's pockets wouldn't be being greased anymore. Because it will be coming to the communities. And for that, and knowing that and openly speaking about this all the time, they hear me, they see me, they know me very well. I've been reached out a lot. Several people have reached out to me to want to have a conversation. And, you know, you shouldn't say that because you're getting money from something. You got to understand, if there is anything, like I know I pray a lot, you know, I meditate, and I said to the Creator, if there is anything in me that will, you think, will ever take a bribe, take it out of me or show it to me so I can get out of here and get myself together.
Oh,
you understand? I'm so serious about this. Like, when I tell you, I refuse for my life to be cursed for me doing anything grimy and crazy and wild.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse it, and I mean it. If it's saying, "Hey, I'm gonna have to head on out of this race because I can't take these bribes or anything like that," or if I feel like I want to take them, something in me gotta change.
Bruh.
You know, and I just go at it again. It's just that serious to me. I don't give a fuck about no notoriety or any of the things. Like, I'm that serious about the purity that I have and my commitment to the people, period.
Beautiful.
And I don't want any corporate ties. you know, being a progressive, you know, I understand what it means to have these corporate people in your pockets, and I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with that, you know. I've been, you know, offered some funds already. I was like, absolutely not, to stop talking about public safety. And I was like, I'm going to talk about it some more.
Right.
Yep. I'm going to talk about it some more. And I'll send you a, I'll send you the link to hear me talk about it. Absolutely not. What? So.
I don't know. I think my opinion may be up for rent. You can't buy it. But I may change my shit for a couple of days. That's why I'm not running for anything.
Right. No, but that's a, but you're in a position to give people the space to talk. And I think that alone, like I said before, we're all on this journey together. We just all have different lanes. You know, I never, you know, shit on any of my brothers and sisters for what they do. Some people are working in the corporate world. They trying to make it happen there and make a pathway for us there. There's some people are on the block. They trying to make it happen.
Shit on you though. Like some people need to be shitted on. They do. Some people are doing your community a disservice in whatever.
They are, no.
In a particular profession, and you need to be shitted on.
Oh, we can talk about that at a later date. You know, there's a few people who are currently under investigation by the FBI who are. They look like us, and they're supposed to be serving us. So, you know, but that's neither here nor there. It's really none of my business. What's important, what my business is doing this work and doing it to fulfill the needs, desires, and what's owed to us, the people, you know. Shout out to Nita Turner. She's been very open about reparations. Shout out to Nita Turner.
I was just about to ask you.
Yeah.
Your stance. It's not that it's trendy, but you're starting to hear more of actual like counties and cities. I just read an article where a county's giving every native that county from like a 40-year span like $500 per month or something like that. Would you support any type of reparations
now? Absolutely. Absolutely. From jump.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so crazy because out of all the interviews, no one has asked me that. And absolutely. I will most definitely support reparations. And I also support more than monetary reparations.
Yeah.
You know, whether it comes in the form of a building, in the form of land, in the form of certain things that we don't no longer have to pay for. I definitely support reparations, and I want to do more work on reparations once I'm in council and I'm working with other colleagues who also support reparations. But yes, I am definitely in support of reparations. Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. Good luck with that one in Ohio.
You ain't never lied.
They will torch the city first.
Yeah, but you know.
And I hate to be like that. I'm sorry. But
it's fine.
You know how they are here in the state.
Of course. But, you know, you got to be fearless when you're doing this work. You got to be fearless, honestly. You have to be fearless and you have to be committed.
It's a different, it's a paradigm shift, like, that's taking place, like, all over, you know, like, when it's time, it's just going to be time. You know what I mean?
Period.
That's just it. When it's time, it's going to be time.
Shh. Okay. Shh. I'm sorry, my little baby. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I just feel like, you know, like at this point, from studies that's been done, like they'll never be able to pay back what they really owe. That's just not.
I agree.
They'll never be able to pay back what they really owe.
But what's a good number? Either way.
I don't want to misquote it, but I know the plan that Dr. Claude Anderson had was like $375 billion or something like that.
Per person?
No. But then it broke down to
They ain't gonna give us all $400 billion a piece.
Then it broke down to like 350,000 like per person or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was 350. Yeah. I think I know exactly what you're talking about. Bob Johnson, you know Bob Johnson, the old dude. He also, he broke the math down. Yeah. Is that the study you're talking about or a similar one?
It was Bob Johnson. But
Bob Johnson.
Had a figure too, but I don't remember. It was one of them. I couldn't remember.
I think it was 350 for like a consecutive like 3 years. Like 3 years, you get 350 for 3 years. And then even then, right. But I just... Like I said, I think reparations is definitely needed, is warranted, is old, and I support it for real and 100%. But what I also think is that we need to make sure that we're open for more than just monetary gain, right? Just cash. Like, if we say, oh, you get these, you get this movie theater, or you get... more than just cash, definitely. I know some people who would, and with that, having the services to continue to maintain it also.
Right.
Not just, okay, don't just give me a movie theater and just be like, all right, figure it out. Give me the movie theater and then we'll be able to go through training or some type of free training and some type of services that we'll be able to always maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's important too. That's definitely in a conversation, a conversation piece that needs to continuously be had. I know Nina Turner is one, Cori Bush, countless other people are coming out like that are in Congress are coming out talking about reparations. I mean,
they still pay reparations for victims from World War II. You know what I mean? Like, to this day,
in the Holocaust.
Like to this day, so like, it's just like enough is enough, man.
Yeah,
enough is enough. Like, especially
cut the check, homie.
Yeah,
period.
Yeah, that's a fact. Enough is enough.
Like, or give every black family a 3-bedroom house.
But yo, it's just
some money, a car.
It's just the sheer fear for anybody that's against it. Because it's like, all right, you know, it's just sheer fear. It can't be anything else. Because it's, all right, so if you in my tax bracket now, we somewhat equal, you're going to outdo me.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I'm going to get left behind. And that's really all it's about.
That's the only thing it's about. It's not about anything else. It's not about, oh, they're not owed it. We're owed it. You're just afraid of the truth of your own ancestors.
Right.
You know, white people got ancestors. They not necessarily, you know.
I mean, to keep it all the way a buck. Like, they are the opinion of Jerome does not reflect or white men historically are the most violent beings in the history of man. That's a fact historically.
That's a fact. And we've seen it in the last 2 weeks.
Right.
We've seen it very prevalent. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think, and I have a lot of white colleagues and comrades who are women who they're like, I don't trust white men at all. You know, I'm gonna just go ahead and be with my girl right here. You know,
so I mean, but if we don't have this conversation then, I mean, I think that it would be more egregious of white women than white men, because we all know that in any society the women are the ones with the true power, and they sat back and allowed that goofy shit to take place.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, we can get further into it, but you know, I think it's so important to understand that you know, the plight of white men in this country. And they are not, because you got to, and I think the reason we're pointing on white men because they are in power a lot.
Yeah.
They're currently a president. They're currently, regardless of who, you know, judges and counsel and Congress and Senate and wherever you see and wherever you see that leadership, you see how what is trickling down to the people, the people in poverty, the people in underserved communities. What is trickling down and who was their leader, quote unquote, who was our leader, quote unquote? It's usually a white man. So you're not going to tell me if we had more black men or black women or Asian men or more, I hate to use the word diverse because I feel like it's people play on it too much and they use it as an excuse. More nationalities represented in our leadership roles in this country. You can't tell me if that was the case that we wouldn't have a lot of the same problems.
Yeah, no question.
There is. So it's real. It's real out here. There's work to do. And I think it's so important for us to, and you guys to continue having these conversations.
Oh, this was dope too. Definitely appreciate you, Queen. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Sue.
I'm dead ass about getting a snowplow though. Like this is pretty bad. Like you live over here. You know what the streets is like.
And we were going to be moving closer, like right around like 185th, and we're going to be moving over there.
Mm-hmm.
But man, we got a little hill in our driveway.
Oh,
that is. Oh, I love her in the summer. But boy, oh boy, oh boy! Thank God I got a Jeep. We both have large vehicles. We both have, my husband has an SUV. I have a SUV Jeep. Yeah, I love Cleveland though, but man. We get all four seasons.
In like 2 days.
And I'm telling you,
morning. Definitely, yo. Like we get all four seasons too, but like, not like that.
No, y'all winters are like not like super puffer jackets. Like I've been down there and it's like the winters be like 50. I'm like, oh, this is a nice little winter. Like 40. We get below zero, man.
Yeah, see, that's not fun.
That's not it. So when I get into council, I'm also gonna be thinking about changing the weather. I'm fighting when I say I'm fighting for the people. Shit, I'm fighting all avenues.
Hey, we will all take that. You know,
I really get it. And then, oh, she about to change the weather on our asses and shit.
Oh man, I would definitely take that. Have you tapped in with some of the brothers and sisters around the country that have been elected into office? Like we had Jewel Jones on the show, and what was his sister's name? Lamar London, a state representative from Tennessee, wasn't it?
I forgot her name, but I'm
pretty sure that's what it was, Lamar London. Yeah, and Jewel Jones, a state rep out of Michigan, and they seem to have like it's developing like kind of like a network of just black politicians from coast to coast. It seems.
Mm-hmm. I have not, but I'm definitely interested. I'm taking a picture of us because I'm going to post it up. But I have not, you know, I'm still a girl. I haven't, but I'm looking forward to connecting with more like-minded individuals, you know, around the country for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be pretty dope. And do you know how many votes it took for your opponent to win the last time? I've always been curious.
I think it was like 3,000. So I'm going to have to get about 4,000 votes to win.
There's that many people in this ward?
There's almost 19,000 people in the ward. Like people, when I say people just think it's Collinwood, it's not. There's almost 19,000 people in Ward 8. And And let me just check that, because in the census reported a certain amount, but we know there's about 30% of the ward who didn't fill out the census. So we got about 19,000 people. It's probably 20,000 people in the ward.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. So you only need, like you said, 4,000.
About four. I don't mind with five. We can tip it over.
So I wonder how many blocks that is.
I got somebody doing that math. I can't count for nothing, but I could definitely read. God's a public education, man.
Like, I always wondered, like especially for city council and for judges, like how many people does a judge actually need to get up and vote for them?
Yeah, I need about,
for like forever.
Yeah, I need about 4,000 votes to win. Mm-hmm. And there's a primary because there is a lot of other candidates in the ward as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah. So I need people to vote in the primary for me, and I need to, of course, the general election.
That's dope. And shout out to your husband for being supportive of your
I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. He is such a super secure man. He just covers me, and I'm just very, very grateful. Because it's been rough. You know what I'm saying? This process can be rough when the foundation is not solid, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there has been times where I've come home super late from meetings and meetings and meetings about a meeting and interviews and appearances and stuff. So I'm just so grateful. And I try to make sure that I communicate, you know, of course, throughout the day as much as possible. And he also has a pretty busy job. Mm-hmm. He is the property manager for like maintenance for one of the property companies here in Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
right based in Ward 8. So I'm grateful for that because I get a chance to stop by there and you know, see what he's doing over there. Who over there with you, you know? But, but no, I'm very grateful. My sons have been hitting the trail with me. My oldest, he's like knocking on doors. Are you registered to vote? Like, you know, teaching them young like that is very important. That one right there, teaching them young is so important. He keep trying to walk. He's been walking past. He ain't never been upstairs and downstairs that many times his whole life.
Oh, man.
He ain't never walked up the stairs and down the stairs.
I'm not mad at him, though.
Excuse me. I'm like, man, come on, Mom. So, yeah. Both of my sons have, you know, been hitting the pavement with me. And I'm teaching them, you know, about voting very early and mm-hmm. how much power they have as Black boys and who will be Black men. They know about, you know, police brutality. I'm teaching them about that, and don't ever let nobody tell you can't, because that's bullshit. You know, me and my husband, we're raising our boys. Nothing is off limits. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You got a question, you don't think you can't come to us, because I don't want you to go nowhere else. You know what I mean? We're breaking that generational curse where kids are seen and not heard. No, you got a suggestion, you got a question, you feeling some type of way, you want to talk. You know, why did you have a bad day at school today? That's so important for me.
Right.
You know, because I came up in a time where I couldn't ask questions.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I had questions that about boys. I had questions about, you know, white people. Why they white? You know, I ain't know why. I'm like, oh, is something wrong with them? They sick? You know? For real, I ain't know. You know, I don't know what's wrong with them. You know, there's something wrong with them. They got a little, you know. So just as a child, you know, it's just like, that's how we're raising our boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my oldest, I know the little one, he's going to be a revolutionary for sure. But I know my oldest, he's really, really talented with music. And he writes songs about things. And
mm-hmm.
I'm just so grateful, you know, to have the support that I do in this process. When I come home and I see my sons and my son tell me he wrote a new song, sometimes I don't want to think about, you know, fighting for the people all the time.
Right.
So being able to have those soft moments where I'm listening to him sing his little song and make his little beat, you know, I find joy in that. And I hold on to those moments through this process because they tell me that they're proud of me. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful.
That's right.
That is. I would agree. And we definitely wishing and praying for you and whatever else you goodwill, however else you can say it. And we definitely need you on the city council, and I personally need you to win. So
listen, you know what? You need to you need to inbox me so I can pull on up and get your signature and chat.
No doubt. I'm sure my wife would love to talk politics. She hates talking politics. And I'm telling you, there's a white couple next door, old white couple, and this dude is like so racist, and she seems to not be. It's like
what a dynamic, right?
Yeah.
Archie Bunker.
Facts, man. And I am so George Jefferson, bro. You already know.
Moving on up. Are you gonna play that piano for us, or are you? That was just a part of the
song. Oh no, this is fake.
Oh. Yeah. Wow, because you showed fooled me. I was like, oh, he's talking about he renting. What house he renting? Let me get over there and see what's up.
Yeah, you know, I just look like I'm living in a lap of luxury. No, this is like,
you know, we right by the waterfront in Lakeshore. Right.
You know what I'm saying? He did. He's like, yeah, you know, we live by the water, you know.
No, yeah, but he did say like a couple of blocks away. Let's get that clear. I am right. Not on the lakefront. No. You know, but shout out to the people that make green screens. You guys,
shout out to the people because they sure green screen the hell out of my ass. Because I was like, that's nice over there.
I know, man. I wish.
Melvin, there, you could have told me. I mean, like, dang. I was like, ooh, it's beautiful.
No, actually, and I probably would be like closer to the piano if I, you know, that was my
right. Playing a couple keys.
Well, I can't play worth a shit, but I would lie.
I was convinced for sure.
But if anybody wants to donate to the campaign, they want to check you out. You got a website, or how do they get in contact with you?
Absolutely. Asia, they can visit Asia, AISIA, for Cleveland.com. There you'll find the social media handles for the Facebook account, which is Asia Jones for Cleveland Ward 8 on Facebook, Asia Jones for Ward 8 on Instagram. And I'm very transparent and open, so I encourage people to follow me on Instagram, Asia Jones, AISIA. JONES. We need donations. We need volunteers. I always love encouraging notes and messages. That always keeps me going and fuels and keeps the battery in my back charged. So again, that's asiaforcleveland.com. And then you also have the Instagram, which is Asia Jones for Clee Ward 8. And the Facebook, of course. Mm-hmm. And you can don't spell it wrong, because a lot of people spell my first name wrong, AISIA. You can never spell it backwards, but you're able to spell it wrong if you don't put the first I in there.
You said you can never spell it backwards. Oh, you know, now I get that. I'm so stupid.
I say that to people. Look,
I was stuck, bro. Like, what? What does that mean?
I say that to people, and they be like, A-I-N. I'm like, why are you tying it, though? What's the point? Like, what you doing? What you mean? Why you got a counter? A-I. They be like, A-I. I'm like, whoa, what's happening? You don't got a counter? Like, yeah, so you can never spell my name backwards. The technical name for it is a palindrome.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And shout out to K-Sister. I can never pronounce her name, so I just don't want to fuck it up. Mm-hmm. But shout out to you.
Nana.
Yeah, man. I butcher that all the time. I'm sorry. other than that, anything you want to say before we get up out of here? And then, Ron, what you got?
Again, I want to thank you, Kings, for inviting me on. I felt mad love, mad supported. Again, visit asiaforcleveland.com to donate and to sign up to volunteer. There you'll find the P.O. box and you'll find out more about the platform. And just continue to speak to one another. I think that's very important when we're in, building capacity in our communities. Show love, have an open mind. Understand that your perspective is not the only perspective. So, yeah.
Beautiful. It was a pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Pleasure as well.
Yeah. So shout out to everybody tuned in, man. Yo, follow me on IG at driving_for_perfection_43. Yo, check me out Saturday 3:30. Got interview. We interviewing the legendary Tragedy Gaddafi. Want to talk about a few things. Check me out on there. Holla at us tomorrow. We got the water cooler at 7 o'clock. And what's homie name, bro? Next week.
Oh, Gray, official Gray.
Yeah. We got Gray coming on next week, man. You're tuning in for that. Outside of that, subscribe, share the YouTube, man, and we love you. And holla at y'all tomorrow.
Yo, how small is that chair, though, bro?
Bruh, I'm don't do that, yo.
Like, I'm looking now, like.
Like, yo, I'm tall.
You definitely coming for your chair, man. I think the chair nice. I'm going to just say that right there. It's going to be a good.
You can't even see the chair. All you see is
I see a little something right there. It's a little piece.
The difference is your legs would be swinging. If you were
sitting,
it's not that big, bro. Stop it. Yeah. That little bitty ass chair, and it's pink. It's cute though. Like you don't better see it.
It's nice.
My girl set me up.
You know, a little bit.
She just wanted to, you know, have a soft seat.
Yeah, she was like, "Yeah, I already set you up over here." So then, like, I, you know.
Oh! Real quick before we go, man. Shout out to the internet. For completely destroying this nigga Derrick Jackson.
Yo. Oh my gosh. You see that? So a really good comedian friend of mine. Wow. A really good comedian friend of mine did a parody. I was crying real tears. You understand?
My flowers while I'm here.
And yes, I must give you the respect due, man. For years you've been saying this dude was a fraud.
Thank you.
Fake. I gotta give you the credit, man. I used to call you a hater for just randomly hating on this nigga. Let me be honest about it right now and get credit where it is due. You was the first one to understand and appreciate the fakeness of Mr. One Derrick Jackson.
You know what's so crazy is how there's a lot of black men who would say that or who would make fun of him. But like, I know I'm a firm believer that black men from birth, period. I don't give a fuck where you born at, where you from. They're born as prophets because they are protectors, right? So they can tell things. And the one time this one black dude, he was like, "Yeah, I don't know. Like I be cheating and shit, and I be talking like that." So just
I'm a reformed side nigga.
You know, you're reformed.
Like, I knew it. I was like, yo, I know all that game. You know what I'm saying? Like, I knew it. It's like, I was on the inside man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I knew all the moves. Like, I was
squeezing her hand. I was like, come on now.
It hasn't even been him. It's been her more so. Like, she put out a video today, bruh.
I ain't gonna bag on his wife,
bro. I'm sorry. She's doing a good enough job herself. She put this video out of herself in a camouflage shirt and a black beret.
I think it
was horrible, bro.
I think that she was letting them have something on the side, like here and there, something. My personal,
like it was open. It was like an open.
I think so. Because if you think about it, right? Like typically, if you like a dude like him, like you seen the chick he was with, that's typically the type of chick that you think you would see him with.
I gotta get a dig a little deeper. I've been so busy with the campaign, I have time for drama.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie, she look good. You know what I mean?
See, Kay's sister said it's very cringy.
Yeah,
extremely.
Yeah, it's. I mean, yo, it's just like it wouldn't be so bad. Like I said, bro. Like your girl come home mad at you for no reason. Like she watched one of his videos. And it'll trigger something that happened 2 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Got attitude with you.
Like, but that's your fault for doing something 2 years ago, bro.
No. He called
And you know what? Wait, hold on. I got to stop you, bro. From this point on, I am on a mission to take Derrick Jackson's place. There is a need for a nigga to just tell you goofy shit and make women feel so much better. I'm sorry.
I've been saying for a long time that he's been thirst trapping because he be like having his shirt off. I'm like,
I can't thirst trap because I'm fat. However, I can talk a lot of shit. Make
that nigga AJ said he was in a wheelchair. Like,
this is the side chick. This is the side chick, right?
Yeah, she right. She right.
He's still cheating, by the way. Let's not. He's still cheating.
Yo, but the thing about it was this: what he messed up though, because like I saw the side chick leaked the text messages. So I saw the text messages. So like,
yo, I'm sorry, Asia, that we went here during your very polished and well presented.
No, I'm gonna jump off and just enjoy because I gotta do some research. Thank you guys. Y'all still gonna be on? I'm gonna jump off and join.
We about to get up out of here.
All right. Thank you again, Chris. I appreciate it.
It was a pleasure, Queen. And good luck to you. And if there's anything that I can do, that hopefully better than today. Let us know and we got you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I look forward to talking to you and hear from you. Hit me up. Jerome, thank you so much for having me. You all take care.
You as well. It was a pleasure.
All right. It's a pleasure.
That's pretty dope. She's hilarious too.
Yo, the side chick, bro.
Like that, huh?
Like that. But he messed it up, yo, because he was lying to her. You know what I'm saying? So you can't lie to both of them. You're going to get jammed up. I mean, you can't lie to both of them like that. Like what yo was lying about. You can't do that. You got to be keep it a buck with one of them. So if you can't tell your wife, then you got at least.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Hey.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he fucked up. See, he should have went to.
It was, but I'm telling you, man, you have got to see this video of his wife, man. It is like, man, it is, she like doing a parody of herself, basically.
Oh, man. Like,
and just matter of fact, go on Instagram and go to Kev on, what is it, Kev on Stage?
Yeah.
He put a clip up about it. And what did she say? Her shirt was a shield of righteousness or something like that, bro.
But look, niggas who got jammed up the most and immediately came with the Jesus angle, R. Kelly.
But it's not him coming with the Jesus angle, really. It's her.
He said no. He said his relationship with Jesus wasn't right. That's why he was cheating.
I mean, well, yeah, that was, but that. His apology was the worst apology ever.
Bro, and then he plugged his book. Now, read my book. I had sex with that delicious young lady. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And cheated on my wife.
Because, like, he made it sound so much worse. Like, dude, it's already bad, man. How do you possibly make that worse?
Yes, I fornicated on my wife and got another woman pregnant. But you know what? me and my wife prayed about it, and we moved on. No, and I thought about it in my new book, Chapter 8.
Oh my goodness, man. Oh my God, man. That shit has been.
Man, and see, I should have been giving the game out, yo.
Oh my God. I mean, and the sad part about it, though, is that, like, and I've watched a couple of his little videos or whatever, and I can't really say the guy was lying.
He know, bro. It's not like, lying.
You know what I'm saying? But he was honest. He was honest with that shit, but lying to those two. Like,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's how you know it's not real. And though that shit ain't real. That shit ain't real, bro. Oh, goodness, man. It's not. Like, yo, listen. If a nigga can't take, like, he can't take his own advice.
That's normal, though. Most people can't.
Yo, I know for a fact this nigga done caused me at least 5 random ass arguments, bro, about some stupid shit. A female that sent me from a clip from one of this nigga, from one of him.
You know what's fucked up, bro? I just Googled Derrick Jackson, and the second search find was Derrick Jackson wife. I didn't even have to type in wife.
Yo, I ain't gonna bash
on
your wife, yo.
You know, man, I am not bashing her. I'm just pointing out how she is bashing herself.
She sounds. I understand, yo. Like, yo, he been with Shorty since college. You know what I'm saying? All right, Ben. They got married. Like, yo, people grow apart. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes you go in different directions. Like, he's going his way, she's going hers. Like, she's clearly like into Jesus. You know what I'm saying? He's clearly into vagina. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't, you know, it's not going to work. So you got to be real about this.
Oh my goodness, man. All right, man. We got to go, bro. we'll pick up where we left off tomorrow, man. But. then again, I might not be able to do the water cooler tomorrow. But if not, it'll be for a really good reason. Don't forget to check us out, man, at liberationmindedmedia.com. You can get like one of these hoodies or some shit. Oh my God. And if you just need a real pick me up, just go look at some of the Derrick Jackson memes.
Bruh.
The dragging has been legendary.
Yo, and his barber is bullshit. Oh my God. Yeah, I was looking at nigga shape up today too. And I'm still down for the celebrity boxing joint. I ain't even no celebrity. Like, I just want to do it for the real ones, yo.
Yeah, he really would beat you up at this point, bro.
That nigga, bro. I was
No, I'm telling you, man. He's not going to feel any pain.
You're stupid.
He is on pure adrenaline right now.
You're crazy, bro.
He gets in the ring, bro. He's not gonna get go through this dragging and get beat up too.
Man, you see what I do, yo? I'm Team Melvin for real, bro. I'm a multi Melvin. You know
what I mean? Maybe any other? Maybe before this scandal.
Nah.
But right now, yeah, man. He
fuck yo up in the boxing ring.
I wish we could get that to happen, man.
Me too.
See if Gonzo can hook that shit up. Gonzo and what's old boy name? Fight next month. Bosco.
Yeah.
That should be interesting. Anyway, other than that, man, definitely appreciate y'all for tuning in. And for those who tune in tomorrow or the next day or some shit like that, share our shit. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel, like the show, the whole nine. And make sure if you are in Cleveland, Ward 8, that you get your lazy ass the fuck up and go vote for Asia Jones. And make sure you spell her name right, too. All right? On that note, bruh, peace. I'll holler at you.